Good to see everybody here this morning. I hope that we will all be encouraged, strengthened in our faith this morning. My goal personally every Sunday is that we wouldn't be the same, but that every week we gather together there would be some advance of God's kingdom, and particularly in each one of our lives. So let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Father, we are looking to you this morning, Lord, to give us what we don't have, Lord. Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to each of our hearts, Lord. Father, would you send light? Would you send encouragement? Would you send faith? Father, would you help us to hear what you're saying to each one of us this morning? Amen. When I was a child, a long, long time ago, my mother taught me three things to say, which I've always been very grateful to her for. She taught me how to say sorry, she taught me how to say thank you, and she taught me how to say please, and tried to turn me into a polite boy. Which I wasn't always. I was interested reading about David Beckham yesterday, talking about his children. He was being interviewed in a French newspaper because he's just joined a French team. And he was talking about how his parents brought both him and Victoria up in a disciplined way, and they were taught to be polite and always to say thank you. And apparently people remark, the teachers at the school remark, that their children have impeccable manners. But these things are very, very valuable, aren't they? These words, these three words, thank you, sorry, and please. Last time I spoke, I talked about this thing of being thankful for things. I hope that some people found that helpful. That, you know, the way out of being a miserable, unhappy, complaining person is to learn to really give thanks for everything in life. We've got so much to be thankful for. And then there's the word sorry, which we're not going to talk about today. And then there's the word please, which is the one that I want to focus on this morning. Pete, do you want to bring the lights down and Joe play this little video clip? It's of a child. So listen up.
Ever. I am really serious. So just get me that $50 one, okay? And I'll spend the $7 and something cents for it. And you can spend the rest. And that's the last toy ever. I'm serious. I am serious, okay? Can you please buy it at the place, Daddy? Please. It's the last toy ever. No other toy, okay? I'm really serious. Other ones are too hard to build. Okay, Daddy? Can you buy it for me? Say, please, yes. Buy it for me, Daddy. Please, Daddy. Daddy, say something.
Okay. Lights back on, Pete, please. I thought that was quite fun. It illustrates what those of us that are parents know very well, that children have an enormous propensity for asking, some more than others, and that not only can they ask very intensively, but they can ask for a very, very long time until they wear you down. And the Bible encourages us to pray like that. We don't just say please nicely. God wants a real please. He really wants us to want what we're asking for, to be serious. You remember that word that kid kept on saying, Daddy, I'm serious. I'm serious. God wants us to be serious about our pleading as well. There's a wonderful story in the Bible which Emma's going to read out to us just now. Do you want to just come up, Emma? About somebody who got really serious about pleading with God.
1 Samuel chapter 1, the birth of Samuel. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zaph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord."
Thank you. Thank you, Emma. He was called Samuel, which meant asked of God. And, you know, what amazing possibilities there are that we can ask of God. There are many things in life that we can't do ourselves, but we can ask. It's fantastic. I want to just bring a few points out of this story. Particularly want to, I want to encourage us all this morning, but particularly the women here, perhaps. There are some scattered through the Bible. There are some incredible stories, individual stories about women and the things that God has given to them. And so often women were at the beginning of God's work, and particularly at the birth stage of something. And this woman, Hannah, was one of those. First of all, it was a bad situation. It was a bad situation that she was in. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. In Israel in those days, there was not only the sadness of not having children, but it was considered a shame not to have children. And so there was a matter of self-esteem involved here. And this woman, Hannah, it said the Lord had closed her womb. Now, what is the Lord doing closing her womb? Because the blessing was promised through to Adam and Eve, that God blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. And yet it says the Lord closed her womb. It wasn't the devil. It was the Lord who had closed her womb. And there was a reason for that pain. Sometimes pain is much easier to go through when we know that there is a reason for that pain. I've no doubt this morning that a number of people here are suffering pain, perhaps physical, perhaps emotional, but there's a lot of pain in life. It's good to know that there can be a purpose in that pain. The Lord himself had closed her womb, and she wasn't the first one that those words are used of. And it got worse. Her rival, the other wife, used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her. So not only was there a bad situation, there was a bad relationship as well. And how often it is that the relationships cause us such pain inside. I can find a lot of difficult things to do much easier to bear than a difficult relationship. And so it is. And so it was with Hannah. She had a difficult relationship. This woman who was continually provoking her. And the third thing was that it was a persistent problem. Pain is often easy, relatively easy to deal with in the short term. If you know it's not going to last for a long time, but year after year, this happened, and she would have dreaded going up to the temple because she knew, this is the time when I get the double portion to make up for the fact that I haven't got the children. This is the time when Penina teases me and irritates me. It happens every time, year after year after year. And many of us have carried pain over a number of years. And yet God allowed that pain, like the little grit in the clam that causes the pearl to come over a period of time, that bit of grit in our life. It's working away, but it's producing something good, but sometimes it seems a little bit hopeless. The fourth thing is that this pain drove her to God. This pain, this trouble in her life drove her to God. We need to make sure that our pain drives us to God. Not to drink, not to drugs, not to despair, not to try and find every other solution we can do. But let's take the shortcut and take our pain to God. Another thing that this worked in her was sanctification. That she was purified through this. In the end, she said to God, I will give you everything. If you will give me a son, you can have him. I don't care. I just want a son. And he can be dedicated to you. So God got something out of this, didn't he? He got a person that had been released by the mother into his purposes. And when he was born, Hannah took that boy Samuel up to the temple and said to Eli, he's yours. You put yourself in Hannah's shoes, that's quite a step, isn't it? So this pain sanctified her. It caused her to offer everything. And I'm sure many of us have done deals with God sometimes. If you could just do this, God, I will get right to you. I'll do this, I'll do that. And sometimes God uses difficult situations to bring us to the place where we offer everything to him. Another thing this did was it brought a deep cry in her heart. It wasn't just a little cry, there was a deep cry in her heart. It says, and she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. So the measure of her pain caused a deep and heartfelt cry. It brought her to prayer and it brought something amazing to Israel. And so often our pain, God is using our pain to bring fruit in other people's lives. Paul said to the Corinthian churches, he said, death works in me, but life in you. So that it may not be particularly pleasant for us, but it's good to know that God can use our pain to bring life to other people. That's a blessing. And what fruit came out of this, that Samuel was born? At this time, Israel, as happened, the Israel, just like the church, went through cycles of revival and backsliding, of revival and backsliding. And at this time, they were in a very backslidden state. And God needed a man that he could raise up and anoint and rescue Israel from the darkness. And Samuel was that man. And through Samuel came David, who was a wonderful savior to Israel. And through David came Solomon. And in the end, down that line, came Jesus. And through Jesus came us. We are part of Hannah's pain. We are part of Hannah's prayer. Yesterday morning, I'd got a talk quite well prepared. And I'd got overhead sorted out and that kind of thing. And but I just couldn't kind of, you know, I read it and I thought, no, I was looking at this thing for 2 hours and I just couldn't kind of get it. And I went back to what I felt the Lord was speaking to me about in the morning. And I'd like to just share that with you along these lines for the rest of our time this morning. Psalm 5, just a couple of verses in Psalm 5. This is David again. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing. I want to try and help us to pray a little bit better this morning. There may be some random things that you get out of this morning that will help you to pray. First of all, David said this, listen to my words, Lord. I wonder when you pray whether you actually believe, whether I believe that God's listening to my words. Sometimes I'm praying and I say stupid things. Do you ever do that? You're actually praying and you start praying about something that doesn't make any sense at all because you've lost concentration. Well, at this point in his life, I don't know what David was looking for, but he went through a lot of trouble. And he was saying, God, I need you to listen to my words. He was serious about prayer. Often we don't get our prayers answered because God has not got our attention. And he's saying, God, please, could you give me your attention this morning? Consider my sighing. The Hebrew word here is sometimes translated complaining, sometimes translated murmuring. But the Hebrew word means to sigh, to groan, sometimes to mutter. It's like a kind of sound that isn't made up of words, but it expresses what's really going on inside. And I believe that God wants to hear what's really going on inside us. I really do. I think part of prayer is that when we connect with God and actually we get to tell him what's really going on inside. And it could be a lot of complaining. It says that David poured out his complaint to the Lord. Hannah said, I'm not drunk, when her lips were going like this. She was muttering, she was murmuring something. She said, I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. There was an inner connection between her and God. And prayer is good when we actually communicate to God our sighing. Every now and then I've been doing something, reading something. The other day I was on my computer sitting in the sitting room and I went, oh. And Joe said to me, what are you thinking? What are you worried about? What's on your mind? Because a sigh reflects something that's going on subconsciously inside us. A burden maybe, a wish, something deep inside. Consider my sighing. If we could have the next one, Joe, please. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. God wants to turn our sighing into crying. He wants there to be a cry. A cry is probably a shout of some kind where we actually would lift up our voice. Do you ever cry out in your prayer? You find this expression from Genesis to Revelation over and over again. And they cried to the Lord. And they cried to the Lord. And they cried to the Lord. And he heard them. And he delivered them from all their fears. You could do a Bible study on that if you want. How many times it talks about them crying to the Lord. And people started to call again on the name of the Lord. There's something very powerful about calling on the name of the Lord. A few days ago, Joe and I woke up about 2:30 in the morning. I don't know who woke who. Usually it's me. I'm normally the culprit. But as we lay there in bed, we both felt a sense of despondency. We felt a sense of desolation. There were a couple of things that kind of long-term things that were going on in our lives. And we just both felt the same. And, you know, we said to her, Joe, I feel just really flat about this. I feel like I've tried really hard. I've worked hard at this. And I just feel despondent. And she said, you know, I've been feeling the same. I've been feeling desolate about some things. This was a sigh. This was a sigh. And that night we turned that sigh into a cry. And we've learned to do this. We've learned to pray about things as they happen. And so we just went to the Lord and we just said, God, we really need your help. God, could you help us in this situation? Could you help us in that situation? And we went to sleep. Next morning we woke up and we both felt tremendously encouraged. For no apparent reason other than we prayed. Now, if I am inclined to not worry, Joe is inclined to worry. I've probably shared this before. She shared it too, so I don't mind sharing it with you. That I don't worry. Amy doesn't worry much. My son doesn't worry much. So Joe feels that her responsibility in life is to worry for four people. But after that night, things that had really concerned her and worried her for a long time, for some reason, neither situation changed that day. But what did change was that she wasn't worried about it anymore. It just seemed like, okay, God, you're going to sort this out. That cry had brought faith to our hearts. Crying to God, it's very, very powerful. For to you I pray. You know, it's very important that we know that God is hearing our prayers. I think the one thing is really helpful in life is to learn to turn our hearts to the Lord. I just find this that a lot of the time, I'd like to say all the time, but it's not like that because I still find that great lumps of the day I'm not praying. The Bible says pray continually, and I believe that that's there because the goal of our lives should be to pray continually. That one of the tasks of the Holy Spirit, given I think in 1 Corinthians 14, 15 or 16, in that chapter it says, and he will bring to remembrance the things that I've said to you. And I've been praying that God will bring to remembrance, that I'll remember to ask him things as the day goes by. And, you know, as we turn our heart to the Lord, you're sitting in the classroom, you're teaching a group of children, and your heart just turns to the Lord for a moment. I'm sitting there at my computer, I'm just about to send out a quote, and I remember, and my heart turns to the Lord, and I say, Lord, just bless this quote. Could we get a sale from this quote? I meet somebody in the street, and I remember, God, could you give me love for that person right now? I'm about to have lunch with somebody, and it's normally a good time, so I forget to pray. Or maybe I remember and say, God, could you just bless our time together? Could this be a blessing to that person? I go into the office in the morning, as I go through the door, Lord, could I be Jesus to these people today? We just remember and we just turn our hearts to the Lord. It doesn't take a moment. Could God teach us how to do that? For to you I pray. Do you remember in the New Testament, the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Pharisee was praying, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like this person. I do this, I do that, I do the other. And actually, he wasn't praying to the Lord. It says he prayed to himself. And then the old tax collector gets going, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He went to his home justified. He, not the Pharisee, had managed to turn his heart to the Lord and say, God, have mercy. I was thinking this morning about a guy called Dan Garvin. Do you remember Dan, a large-as-life character who came with Craig Marsh, he and his wife? And I remember him sitting in a prayer meeting in Chalk Farm. And I so remember the words that he said. He said, oh God, could you hear us today, not because of us, but despite us? That is a tremendous prayer, isn't it? That's the tax collector's prayer. Oh God, could you hear our prayer, not because of what I've done, not because I'm great, not because I've done this, that, and the other, not because I've had a good week, but just because you're a merciful God, would you hear my prayer? Oh Lord, have mercy on me. That's the prayer. We need to turn our hearts to the Lord. We need to look to God for our answers, even when we're not sure that he will answer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If you do this, don't worry about anything. It's so powerful, isn't it? Do you mind? I know you know this verse. Please don't switch off. Let's just have another quick look at this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Don't worry about anything. That's hard, isn't it? You can't do it, actually. If you go into a dark room, you can't cast out the darkness. You can't take a bucket in with you and say, this is a really dark room. I'm going to try and get some light here. So you get the bucket and you start like trying to get that darkness out. It doesn't work that way. The only way to get rid of the darkness is to switch on the light. And that's what prayer does. Don't worry about anything. Not easy. Pray about everything. Easier. So if you're worried about something, pray about it, even if you're not sure God's going to answer the prayer. This week, there were a couple of situations. I believe God answers prayer quickly. We were on the way to the prayer meeting. We had a little bit of a crisis at home. And we really didn't want to go to the prayer meeting because we wanted to just solve this problem. But I thought, no, we're going to the prayer meeting. And as we got in the car, we said, God, could you just sort this out? I didn't really believe that God would do because it seemed a bit impossible to me. But I have learned to pray about even what seems impossible. Even if I don't believe God will answer. We came back from the prayer meeting. Somebody had visited our house. Problem solved. Pray about everything. Another situation, got a call this week. Somebody was feeling very ill and about to take themselves wanted to go to casualty. And I happened to be with Joe at the time, and I said, let's pray. And so we prayed. The person took a paracetamol. I prayed. The person got better. Now, I don't know, was that my prayer or the paracetamol? I don't know. But I have learned to pray. That's what I'm saying. Even if I'm not sure, I've got that certainty of faith that God will answer. And I've just found that he will answer anyway, just because we pray. And wait expectantly. and wait expectantly. It says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. Do you do that? It really makes a lot of sense. I've never really got the point of praying at night when the day's over. Yes, at nighttime, we can say thank you and pray for a good night's sleep, but it makes sense in the morning to pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. The Hebrew means to stretch out, to arrange before you. It makes sense at the beginning of the day. Maybe you haven't got much time, but have you got a things to do list at the beginning of the day? Have you got some app or other or something that tells you what you're supposed to be doing? Just pray through it. Just lay those things out before the Lord. Your day will go a lot better. And then it says, and wait expectantly. This word wait, it means to watch. Have you ever wondered what people mean by watch and pray? You know, you hear these old books, they use this phrase. We were watching and praying. We went to a watch night meeting, and I didn't really know what that was. But of course, what it is, it's a person at night who stands on the tower, and they're looking out into the night. And the word actually means to lean forward. Do you lean backwards in prayer? Or do you lean forward in prayer? There's a leaning forward expectantly. That we prayed and we're looking to God for the answer. Joe reminded me of something that Joyce Meyer apparently says, which has been a phrase that she's enjoyed. We need to turn our hearts to the Lord. Don't go to the phone, go to the throne. Do you like that? Don't go to the phone, go to the throne. How many of us in a crisis go to the phone? We just want, oh, this is so awful. I just want someone to complain to about this. Somebody needs to suffer with me. As somebody once said, a problem shared is a problem doubled. Why shouldn't I burden that person with my problem? Don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Pray about everything. And look to the Lord for the answers. I've got a little story. Raywin, do you want to come and read this to us? A chap called Charles Finney, who was a great preacher in the 1850s, in the Great Awakening of that time. Somebody called it the Second Great Awakening. And there's a wonderful story about instant answered prayer.
During the summer of 1853, Oberlin was struck with a severe drought. The hay fields were dried up, so there was no feed for the cattle. The cattle soon must die and the harvest fail unless rain comes. Crops had withered, wells dried up, and the parched earth became powdery. On Sunday morning, the church was filled. Not a cloud was in sight, and no one expected a drop of water to fall from the skies that day. The situation was desperate. Finney arose from his chair and walked to the pulpit and lifted his voice in prayer. O Lord, send us rain. We pray for rain. Our harvests perish. There is not a drop for the thirsting birds. The ground is parched. The choking cattle lift their voices toward a brassy heaven and lowing cry, Lord, give us water. We do not presume to dictate to you what is best for us. Yet you do invite us to come to you as children to a father and tell you all our wants. We want rain. Even the squirrels in the woods are suffering for want of it. Unless you give us rain, our cattle must die. O Lord, send us rain and send it now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Not many minutes did the sermon go on before a cloud about the size of a man's hand came into the summer sky. It grew fast. The wind rattled the shutters of the old church. Darkness came on the air. And joy aroused our anxious hearts as great raindrops pattered on the sun-scorched shingles of the monumental old church. Finney's lithe figure, tall as a Sioux warrior, ruddy as David, trembled. His voice choked. God had heard his cry. The sermon was never finished, for torrents of rain poured from the prayer unlocked heavens. The preacher bowed over the pulpit and said, "Let us thank the Lord for the rain." He gave out the hymn, "When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise." The congregation could not sing for weeping. Then Finney lifted heavenward a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. I cannot remember a word of the closing prayer, but the reverent and relaxed figure, the pathetic voice and the pallid and awestruck countenance are vivid, as if it were yesterday. The plank sidewalks of the dear old town splashed our garments as we walked home from a very short service, of which life's memory must be lasting.
In the evening of that day, they had a service. It goes on, nor did the outpoured rain close the story of those opened heavens. That afternoon, the congregation packed the building once again so that the minister could comfort the slain of the Lord. "I've never witnessed so solemn a scene," says the minister in his advanced story. He continued with added force and directness until his shaft struck home. From the galleries, the side seats, and the choir, they filed solemnly to the front seats. If the old church seats 1,500, then there were 1,000 penitents at the altar that day. So God sent the rain. God sent the rain. But he sent the rain of the Holy Spirit too. And I believe we need to pray those two things, don't we? There are no doubt today situations in our lives that we really need God to help. Have you got Hannah's cry? Have you got Hannah's cry? She was so desperate. She had become so desperate that she was crying. If your pain is such that you are suffering yourself, but you're not praying about it, then there may be more pain. Because God wants to bring us to the point where we take our pain to him. I feel in our prayer meeting on Tuesday nights, it's wonderful to meet together. But I feel even in that we need more of a cry. A cry. God answers the cry of his people. Does it bother us about the people outside? We had this thing that Liz shared about the cross, that lovely picture of, you know, "Oh God, please, Lord, get me near that cross so that I can look out and see the people that you died for." Does it even bother you? Does it bother me, really? I often pray, "God, please make me more concerned. Please give me a burden. Please put a cry in my heart. Do you care the slightest? Do we care the slightest about our spiritual life? Do we care that we're not like Jesus when our destiny is that we should be like him and we should want to be like him in our characters? Does it bother us what we're like at work?" We had at the end of work on Friday, we had a little gathering to say goodbye to one of our staff. And as I left, I'd been thinking about this verse, being conformed to the image of his son. And I thought, was I in any way Jesus to the people there this evening? In my workplace, in your family, are you Jesus? And if you're not, does it bother you? You see, that's the cry. That's the cry. God will answer a cry. So maybe our first prayer is, "God, give us a cry. Help us to be bothered by what bothers you in our lives, and then you can answer that cry." Let's pray, shall we? Let's stand, if you don't mind. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you like to? Thank you, Lord. A little before you start, amen, there's a little video which you can have your eyes open or your eyes shut. I suggest you even have your eyes shut, because all it is, it's an old song that we used to sing in the 70s, and it's just a scripture. It's these scriptures that we have just looked at now about our prayer. And in a moment, we're gonna play that. As we do, let's I think they sing it through three times. Let's make this prayer our own. I really like this. I love singing scripture because it can turn into our own prayer. We can own it. So if you don't mind, Joe. Thank you, Lord. Father, we turn our hearts towards you. We lift our eyes to you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, help us to pray, Father.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Hearken unto the voice of my cry.
Let's pray these words ourselves.
My King and my God, for unto thee,
yes, Lord,
will I pray.
We pray to you, Lord.
My voice shalt thou hear in the morning.
Help us to pray in the morning,
unto thee.
Help us to lay our days before you, Lord. You can sing it if you like.
Give ear to my words, O Lord.
Father, hear us, Lord.
Consider
our sighing, Lord.
Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will.
Okay, Joe, that's fine. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Father, we pray today that you would put a cry in our hearts, Lord. Father, you know the things that, the pain that some people are suffering in different ways, even at this time, Lord. Father, we thank you for the pain, Lord. Father, we thank you for the pain that leads us to you, Lord. It's not that you don't want to relieve that pain, Lord, but you want us to bring it to you, Father, and we do today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you. Help us, Lord, to remember you during our days. Help us, Lord, to be people of prayer, Lord. Father, that pray to you all the time, Lord. I know it seems a bit of a long shot, Lord, but we ask you, Father, would you help us to pray more? Father, that you might come more, Lord, into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Maybe it would be good, for men would like to play quietly, to just find somebody near you and just share maybe just one thing that is causing you pain. So, or maybe you want to pray, actually, I'm not bothered about anybody else. I'm not anywhere near that keyhole. I can't see the people out there. I don't really care. That's a good, honest prayer. And say, could you pray with me that I would be more concerned? Okay.